So the topic of this chabura is Lashon Mesupik B'Takana, and to some degree B'Shtar, or statutory interpretation B'Laz. People, when they think about constitutional interpretation, statutory interpretation, they want to find a parallel in halacha. Often they first jump to Chazal and how Chazal Darshim Psukim and how halacha is interpreted. That's a complicated thing to do, given that halacha is more than a legal system; it's divine law. It's a more complex system. I think maybe a better place to where you may be more likely to find parallels more easily, and I think we will possibly see such parallels is takanos lashem esubik betakana, which of course is not dinim d'oraisa, generally not even takanos of the Gemara, generally takanos of the Kehila, and we'll see how they're interpreted in this chabura, and may be interesting from a variety of perspectives. First, just a general overview of the plan of the chabura. We came across a couple of different places where Lashon Mesupik comes up in our limud in Simen Tesvav and Simen Yud Ches. So we'll mention those quickly. We'll talk about the definition. We'll talk about the survey where Lashon Mesupik applies in halacha and the Shulchan Aruch. Define what counts as Lashon Mesupik, what doesn't. Who may resolve it? And then the core question is, how does one resolve Lashon Mesupik? How does one resolve an ambiguous text, based on the language, based on the authorial intent, maybe Taos comes into play. And then finally, we'll quickly end with the possibility that you don't actually resolve the suffix, the Lashon Mesupik, but instead, you somehow deal with the suffix. You somehow assume it's a suffix and move from there. So that's the overall structure. We'll start just by looking at the places where it comes up in our limud. At the end of Tesvav in the Beis Yosef, says Kasav Arashba Nishal Hinei Shekasav Nei Yir B'Takano Sam Shei Nidon Kol Inin HaTakana B'Chol Lashon Mesupik Sheba Kasher Adun Ani Lahem. Someone was empowered by the community to decide any unclear language in their takana, and he asks him Yeshli Rishus Ladin BaOmer Kifimah She Yeroyli B'Tikuna Inin Odavke B'Mashmaus HaLashon. Whether he can decide based on what he thinks is right, given the context, given the scenario, or if he has to hew to the interpreting the language of the text. The Rashba says he has to focus on the language. In that case, that's one place where it comes up in our limud, and the other place in Simen Yurches, first in the Sma mentions a few things from the Rashba. Again, the Rashba, and he mentions because of Od. This is Sivkatan. Yud, the kol safek takana done in lahakel lenitba. That in general, this is a case where you don't resolve the safek in a takana. Anytime you have a safek in a takana, you're makil for the nitba. Ki amotzi michaver olav haraya. The Pisgei Tshuva talks about that. We'll get to that hopefully at the end. But those are the two places in our limud where the idea of lashon mesupik or safek bitakana comes up, and that's the pesach for this topic within our limud. Lashon Mesupik comes up primarily in three types of places in the Shulchan Aruch, in terms of its scope. First, of course, as we just saw in the context of Chabramim or Takanos, and that it comes up. We just saw in that Beis Yosef, and quoting the Rashba, but it comes up more extensively in Simen Reish Kaf Ches in Yoredeya, which talks about things about Charamim more generally. The end of a very long simon, Sif Nun, talks about Lashon Mesupik Be'Haskama Be'Cherem, and it's going to give a few different scenarios, a few different options of how to interpret it. We're going to get to that at great length later. Another place where it comes up is not in the context of Takanos of the Kehila, but in the context of Shtaros, or otherwise Tanayim, in agreements between people. This comes up most extensively in Simen Membeis and Choshen Mishpat. Let's say, for example, Hayakasuv bo lemala davar echad or lemata davar acher. You have a shtar that contradicts itself. Efshar l'kayem shneim, mekayem inosam. If you can make both parts agree, such that they don't contradict, that's preferable. Avam heim sosrim zeseh. Then you have to figure out how to follow. You do go after the tachton. In that case, a few sifim later, we counter the principle yad bal ashtar la tachtona, that when there's lack of clarity, we prefer the person not holding the shtar. There may be some limitations to that, but there's a variety of cases in the context of Tanayim and Shtaros, where we have this Lashon Mesupik, or a Safek, or a Stira, and the question of how to resolve it. And then finally, and this really is the original source in a sense, the context of Nedarim, how to interpret Nedarim. And the Shulchan Aruch, paraphrasing the Mishnah, Nedarim says, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. In general, if you have a Safek in Nedarim, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir, but Perusham Lahakel, that all things equal, you're Machmir, but there's room to interpret the Nedarim in various directions, and not only do we allow the Noder to interpret, but also in Reish Yud Ches, part of a long string of simanim on this topic, Kol Noder Nishba Roen Dvarim Sheviglala Nishba Unadar Velom Demehem LeEzen Eskaping. We also make use of context in order to figure out what the Neder should be seen as. In such a case. So those are probably the three main places where this comes up. We're going to focus primarily on a takana, but we'll also spend some time looking at shtaros and the like in to try to fill out our topic when it doesn't have as much discussion in our context. It's important to define what's a lashon mesupik and what's not. What exactly does it mean to have an unclear text, and when does that not really apply? So for this, There's an important Pisrei Tshuva on Reish Yedal and Choshen Mishpat. Just we'll see the case, the basic din. Ha'omer lechavero, bayis mi basi, ani nosein lach, nosein lach katan shebehem. If you had an agreement with your friend, whether you say it to him or a shtar, whatever the case is, that you're going to give him a room, as let's say a gift. So you can give to him any room. You have multiple rooms, you can give him the smallest one, that's fine. Now, you might have said, well, isn't this, and this is based on Yad Bala Shtar Al Tachtona, you might have said, well, doesn't this count as Lashon Mesupak? Right? It's unclear which room it's referring to. So, and if they made a t'nai that Lashon Mesupak would favor not the grantee, but the grantor, not the Bala Shtar, not the other person, but the Bala Shtar, what would the din be there? And the Pisrei Tshuva says, quoting the Avodas HaGershuni, Afilu amarle bayis pevesi sheini yachol litein lo aliyah. Fine, that's a separate point. Aliyah doesn't count. Munos and parushim. V'alvi shekasav b'shtaro shetehe yado ala helyona. Even though you say in the shtar, right? You write a shtar. You say, I'm going to give you a room, and yado ala yona. The person with the shtar, the person who's receiving the room, gets the upper hand in interpreting the shtar. V'neima b'chol lashon mesupak yado ala shtar al yona. Given that agreement, he should say we favor him, and maybe he should have the choice of room. Halozehu davka b'de ikatrei lishni the sasriya adadi. This is not a case of lashon mesupik. That's only a case where there's a stira, there's a contradiction between language. Oh, lashon echad mesupik perusha, or you have a term that's ambiguous with multiple meanings. But not in our case. Avo ba'omer ba'yis stam ani mocher lach, sheyachol litan l'apachos, eino mikoch safek, el mepnei shu apachos, shebemashmaos, uvezeh ein yadu al yona. Our case, however, is not a case of safek. It's fully clear what it means. It means a room. Bias. He's going to give him a bias. The question is which bias? So that's not a question of interpretation or suffix. That's a question of discretion. So it's at his discretion. It's the Yad Bala Shtar Al HaTachtona in general, meaning even if you specify in the Shtar Yad Bala Shtar Al HaYona, that only goes for interpretation. That wouldn't determine the discretion of how to pay the person back. Same thing if you say, I'm going to give you a par. I think the Gemara has that example. He chooses which par. As long as it qualifies as a par, when it clearly fits that definition, you can give you anyone a better one, a worse one, and that's not a question of ambiguous language or lashon mesupik. That's just a case of the ability of a person to decide what to give to fulfill the condition in the shtar. I'll add, we saw three cases here in the Pisrei Tshuva, right? Where there's a stira within the shtar, where there's language that's ambiguous, and those both count as lashon mesupik, and then what's not lashon mesupik figuring out how to apply the clear language in the shtar, meaning you're going to give him a cow, which cow? But there's another category we're going to encounter at least once, probably more than that, where the question is the exact scope of the takana. Does the takana really apply to this case? And it's not about determining the language. It's more, well, does this scenario fit with what's in the takana? It could fit. It's not excluded explicitly. It's not included explicitly. And would it be reasonable to assume that this was part of the takana or not? This we will see. There's much discussion about how and whether to include such a case. So we'll see that, although that's not mentioned explicitly by the Pisrei Tshuva. This avodas and the avodas gershuni. The avodas gershuni is you know, in this chabur, I'm going to try to bring in halacha lemaisa in a few cases where possible. So it's actually paskin lemaisa by the piske din Yerushalayim dine mamonos uberure yahadus. I think this was a get case, if I'm not mistaken, but I quoted it out of context. Source number 10 on the sheet. Should avodas gershuni sheila dam beinyan ruvin veishto nasnu bematana leshimon. Chasnam diras chatzi besam, etc. And just the point that we saw that that even if you specify that yabal ashtar al yona, this doesn't count as an interpretive question because it's a question of how to apply the din rather than a question of what the shtar is saying. Right, it's about how to apply the shtar rather than determining what the shtar says. So that we're going to work with that position throughout that definition of what lashon mesubak is, what's included. And that's that resolves our question of what exactly lashon mesupik is. One more preliminary question, which is who's empowered to resolve to clarify lashon mesupik, and this partially depends on the case, depends on the scenario. So in the case of nedarim, as we saw in the case of nedarim, the perushim lahakel, the person who has the power to mafarish, is the person who made the neder, and that's fairly straightforward, even though it's not explicit. In the Gemara, it's fairly implicit. The Rambam has a clear formulation. He writes that Omrim lo umahaya belivcha. Right, if someone says something ambiguous, we ask him, "What did you mean?" And based on that, he's allowed to interpret. He's allowed to interpret, and that's what's koveya for the neder. Of course, if he doesn't offer an interpretation, stam nedarim la'achmir, then we go by the chamur interpretation. What about by shtar? So by shtar, it seems like. There's one of two scenarios depending on what you're masna. If you don't specify anything, we assume generally yad balashtar ala tachtona, right? The person who writes the shtar has the lower hand, as it were, the opposite of the upper hand, and the other person can determine when there's a safek, can determine presumably the less onerous obligation. And on the other hand, if you specify that the yad balashtar ala yona, that he takes precedence, then you go like that. Then you'll go. Then the balashtar can determine how to interpret. So just one. We're not going to go into this be'ian, but one question that you can ask in this context is this idea of yad balashtar al tachtona or al ha'elyona, is that when it applies one way or the other, is that really an extension of perusham lahakel by nedarim? Is it the same phenomenon but applied to one side or the other? You can't have both sides being a farish, obviously. But one of the sides has the power, has this koach of perush, or do we say no? It's not really similar at all to nedarim. It's a separate din. It has no connection at all. And the nafkamina presumably would be when we say yabal shtar ala tachtona or ala yona. One of the parties gets to determine what the shtar means. Can they just say whatever they want? They could say any reasonable interpretation and apply that, or do they need to say what they think the original agreement was? Right? Is it really a perush that we allow the balashtar or the other party to do to interpret what actually happened originally? Or is it a koach? Right? Is it a perush or is it a koach? Can they just decide, oh, what we meant was, you know, the maximal interpretation of the shtar would be. I think if you say he has maximal power, that would seem to not be perushim, that would not be similar to the din by nedarim, whereas if you say he's limited to the meaning, then it would connect to nedarim. I don't want to get into that now, but at least
what's the tzad to say that he has koach outside of the meaning of the shtar?
No, not outside of the meaning of the shtar. It has to fit the meaning, but it doesn't have to fit the original agreement. It doesn't necessarily mean. Usually, when we say stam nedarim lehachmir pirushim lehakel, that doesn't mean you can interpret the words that you said any way you want. Presumably, you're duty bound to say what you meant, as the Mishnah and other right. people indicate. Whereas when you say Yad Palashtar Yona, it's not clear that that's the case. At least it's not specified here.
It doesn't sound that he interprets it at all. It's the din is.
Maybe they're right. Maybe
it
the, right. To his benefit maximally.
It's
right.
A koach pir. I just understand that here. If a hakir, was it be tzad koach palashtar, or is it in terms of pirish ashtar?
So the word pirish is ambiguous. It's lashon mesupik. So I will clarify that what I meant by perish is perish in the way it's applied by nedarim, that explaining what you meant originally, clarifying what your original meaning was, rather than
determine it, right? Because when
It's determinate to you. You said something. You made an agreement on something, and you had some intention originally. Okay, so that then may relate to the question too, right? To what degree do we care about the intention at the time of the agreement? To what extent do we just care about the shtar, which famously is a shtar? And right, that could be part of the question.
I don't understand the extent that the shtar.
By a neder, right? You'd say by a neder. Yeah. So by a neder.
Is there still an open question whether it's a koach or it's a pirush?
What was your apodosis? What was your resha? I didn't understand that.
The answer is to the extent that the shtar defines, the shtar exhausts the terms of the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Is there still an open question whether it's a koach or a pirush?
I think you could say the shtar defines the agreement, but maybe there still are certain limitations. I don't think that's, yeah, I think you could still, within that side, you still could ask. You could say the same question.
How could you have kochos that don't stem from interpreting the document?
Well, it could be, right, it could be that the power of the shtar could go in several different directions based on its various ambiguous meanings, but still that the person, when asked to apply the shtar, has a chiyuv to not take more than what was originally agreed upon. For example, say it's an external tanai on his perish. You could say that. I don't think you have to. I don't want to get too bogged down in this question. You could really say a similar question by nedarim, right? When you say a perish of a neder, how does that really work? Isn't it just the words that you said? Do we care about what you thought? So apparently we do care about what you thought. So part of this question is do shtars work the same way or not? I think that's independent of whether the shtar is just based on the shtar itself, or it's based on the agreement. I think either way you could ask this question, but we could dispute that afterwards, possibly. Fine. What about takana? Right. That was shtar. That was neder. What about by takana? So that's of course more centrally our sugya. So we're going to read the Shulchan Aruch on this with greater detail. Source number 14. Lashon mesupach baskama becherem. When you have ambiguous language in an agreement of a cherem or a takana, nidon kefi mashi yomru rov hakahal shahaisa kavanasam b'shas hacherem. The default thing to do is to clarify with the majority of the kahal what they meant at the time they made the cherem, and whatever the majority position is, that will determine the meaning of the cherem. Fine. The Ramaz says v'chem b'shar dvarim she'tzivu mekulakim bo be'inin takanasam b'cherem shalhem. It's not just by a cherem; it's by any communal matters. So that's scenario number one. Scenario number two. Not the default. If they specify the im hisnu shekol lashon amasubik hei nidon al pi ploni, they give someone the authority. And this is the Rashi that we saw in Beis Yosef. They give someone the authority to interpret their ambiguous language in their takana. Lo yuchal ladon al pi omedato el fi mashenir lo milashon haskama v'atakana. He can't judge based on his own estimation as to what's right, but based on the language. And we're going to get to that question later. But at least we have here two scenarios of how to interpret. Who's given the power to interpret the takana? It's either the default of rov of the misaknim, or if there's one misakin, then just that person. But if there's multiple, the rov, or you can outsource it, as it were. You can give someone a particular authority. As a sort of side point, number 15 here, a different shut rashba, going on one of these scenarios. I guess they were at least somewhat common for the Rashba. He had several shilas about this. Masha she'el to al masha kasif b'lashon ha'takana v'chol hashem asubagia al echad ha or ayin alef ha'burim she'kol zman v'zman, right, that whatever the cases, you have these burim decide it. Im nechlu ha'burim b'sfaros b'inyanim elu im yelchu b'hem achra rov b'in l'achol b'in l'achmir. And what if or not, right? Do you follow rov of the people who are given particular authority to interpret these takanos? And he says, no, du'usha kol shekibla kalaleim deos anashim da'ad oheo yoser ein holchem achar rov. If you empower a group to interpret the takanos, you don't follow rov. She'ein rov elo bebezdin. This is not a bezdin. You don't follow rov. I mean, in some ways, you might say it's like pshara. The point is, so that's just the interesting point. We're not going to build on this more, but the way the Rashba puts it, you only follow rov if it's the original misaknim. Presumably, the Rashba would agree with that. But you are, that's actually interesting. I don't know. I don't know if we have the Rashba's opinion on that. Certainly the Shulchan Aruch would say that. But at least according to the Rashba, you don't follow majority with an external group that's empowered to interpret the takanos, because ein rov elav bezdin. So that's the question of who does the interpretation. Now we've dealt with several of these side issues, but now we reach our core sugya. How does one interpret Lashon Mesubak? Right, there's going to be several shitos here, and most of them are raised in Yoredeya Reish Kavches, where in the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. There'll be several shitos there. So the tour there is actually not directly relevant for our purposes. It's sort of tangentially relevant. It talks about a neder, another mi'atzma, al das shnayim, yesh lo hatara. What cases you have a neder, al das others, when there's hatara, when there isn't hatara. But that serves as the launching pad, as it were, for the Beis Yosef and the Ramah to bring in several Rishonim, and some of whom with multiple tshuvos, mm-hmm. on how to interpret a takana. So we'll start with the Beis Yosef, talking here about the Rivash. V'kasav, Mashiach, there also were some other points not directly relevant to our sugya, so I didn't include, it's a fairly lengthy Beis Yosef and Ramah and Darki Moshe, but we're focusing on the relevant parts. V'kasav, Mashiach, Kiru, Das HaMachmir Shevakaho. Let's say you put in your takana that this will be interpreted based on the Machmir. So Nira She'ena Kavana Lomar, Shiyya Lashon Acherim, Ladun Al Pia Machmir. It doesn't mean literally that you follow the Machmir, She'yelchu HaKahal, Acher Kavanaso, meaning if you have 10 people and you ask, what did you mean? So one person's super machmir, the other 9 are not. That you automatically follow that machmir individual? No. Eladatam lahotzi miyad kol ha'arama ve'akol yichol mefarish ma'hayza kavanasam v'lashon zev yasu kiperusham. All it means when you say to follow the machmir means to not allow for a radical makel reinterpretation, but it's still actually up to the kahal to decide, presumably based on rov, how they understand the takana, and that's the meaning of the takana. There's no such thing as empowering the machmir just because you said al das mach, and that's not what the term means. If we look at the Rivash itself, Taf Nun Zayin, so the She'ela says, talks about the text, V'sheyeh kasuv behoda'os hanizgar kol ma sheyesh lahem ba'olam mechuyiv lamasa b'yadayanim ha'musmachim v'anasim ratzon ha'nevrarim lasuz dinei hoda'os al das ha'machmir shevakahol. That's the lashon of this takana. That it's al-das ha-machmir, and his question is, what exactly does that mean, that it's al-das ha-machmir? So in the tshuva he says, he writes, umashe his kiru b'cherim al-das ha-machmir shebakal, nere she'ena kavana lomar she'yeh lashon acherim nidon al-pi ha-machmir, she'yeh lo kol acher kavana. So you don't follow this machmir person, the most stringent interpreter in the group, el-adaitam haya b'zeh lo'otzi midei kol ha-rama, to get out of ha-ramos, and give some examples of those. If you jump ahead, Imkin another nishba al das ploni yeshlon lomer shekavanasu lahotzi midei ha'arama. Koshnitzel Rabosinu binyan zev. Vigam bezeha inyan atzmo. Yuchlu akal lefarish im haisek kavanasu ba'amram lashon acherim al das ha'machmir lahotzi miyad ha'arama levad osh o af she'acherim yekolel lekavanas ha'machmir. He says like a sort of recursive point. You could actually ask the kahal who made this takana to follow the machmir whether when they said they wanted to follow the machmir they meant the person who was the most machmir or whether they meant just to stay away from ha'aramos. So the interesting point there, that's, I guess, one point made by the Rivash here, but it's not going to be his biggest finish. It's just sort of a clarifying point as to what it means to follow the Machmir. Moving on to the Beis Yosef, he quotes a different tshuva of the Rivash. We're going to see several of these. I guess he was a specialist in interpreting takanos. The Siman Shin Lamed Aleph Kasav, Kevin Sherova Kal Omrim, Shelo Haisek Vanasam, Ela Al Bate Hayachidim Levad, in a case where you question whether it applied to individuals or communal groups, ain safek sheyicholim levayer kavanasam v'holchim acher kavanas harov. If they say it only applies to the bate yichidim, it only applies to bate yichidim. That's the if rov of the call says that, that's their interpretation. She'ein haneder chal ela al masha haisa kavanas harov. And this is an important formulation. The neder is chal only based on the intention of the majority of the group. That's what determines what the neder is, right? So going back to Ether's question before, it's not the language per se that matters. The primary thing that matters is Mahaisa Kavanas Harov. When the majority of the group decides, that's what determines what the nether is. In this case, the nether is a cherem, it's a communal enactment, a takana. The af imhamiyut haisa kavanasam lakol, even if a minority of the group thought that this should apply not just to Bate Yechidim, but to all houses, with Fishalonis Kaima Haskama Vacherim Shech Rimwala al Kavanasam, El Al Kavanas Harov. It doesn't really matter what the minority thought, just finish first, and you follow the majority. V'nimtzu kula mutarim, ve'af hamiut mutarim. All people are mutar for the broader interpretation that applies to all batim, as opposed to just batim yichidim. Even the people who themselves thought that they were making the takana for all batim. As long as the rov actually says that they didn't mean to aser everything, just this subset of batei yechidim. V'gam lo lomar halashon kolel hahu kasher nichtav. And also, they didn't mean this broad language of everything in that particular case. Al kanasam haisel batei yechidim levad. As long as they meant that, that works. Elashon isbalbel l'shonam. Even though the words that came out, the actual words in the takana were somewhat mixed up and could be construed to mean everything. Avam haisek kavanasam lomar lashon shakolo hakol afim kavanasam shelo less or elaktsas holchem achara lashon v'lo achara kavana. Dvarim shulev inu dvarim. But if they meant to say language that osers everything, this is a sharp distinction, even though they only meant to oser some of it, I don't know exactly how this scenario would work. They meant to say a lashon that osers everything, even though they only meant to oser some of it, in that case, you follow the lashon. But it sounds like, leaving aside that last case, which I can't see it applying too often, generally the rule is you follow the intention rather than the language.
As we saw in the Shulchan Aruch earlier also, right?
That's based on this. Well, so we'll get to the Rashba soon. So we'll hold off on that point. Hold off on that.
We're not an interpretation of the language issue?
This is based on the original intent.
Within the confines of the...
So we'll see. Exactly. So the Rivash will specify that in another tshuva. So just hold off on 1 second. At least for now, the most important formulation here, and we see the Rivash elsewhere, we'll modify it slightly. But Eina neder chal ela al ma shehaisa kavanas harov. Sounds like really the rov's kavana is the ikur. We're going to see... Ezra Rabowski is saying that it does need to fit with the language. We'll say that in another tshuva.
So if it's Lashon Mesubah, then we're going to interpret it based off what Rabakal said their Kavanah was B'Shasa Kerem.
Right, that Shulchan Aruch is based on the Rivash. That line is based on the Rivash. Exactly. We will get to the Shidur Rashba soon and the distinction. So yes, please hold off. It'll get a bit more complex in a moment. So just to
make sure I understand this correctly. So far we've seen that in terms of klalim, so we have Hamas Mechavel Araya, right?
You want to hold off on your question for now? That came up again. Maybe I shouldn't have done this at the beginning. We're going to get to that at the end. That's if you're not able to clarify the ambiguous language and you're left with a suffix. So in a case where you're left with a suffix, that's one way of being poshet, not really being poshet the suffix, sort of being machriya the suffix. You're not clarifying anything. You're just sort of working with a suffix.
Right.
How do you go forward? That's by Shtaros. That's not really shayach to a takana, right? Takanos are not generally rav kol hayup seid lahai. That's... But definitionally, that's not going to be a takana. But yes, in other cases, it's that. And by a neder, you certainly have the pirish of the individual. But let's try to get the full shitas harivash here. So we have, so far, his formulaic statement that you always follow the da'as of the rov. And you ask the rov to clarify what their kavana was at the time that they made the takana. The shin rivash shin lamed aleph that the Beis Yosef quoted... It's a pretty straightforward quote. Just a couple of highlights. He adds, "Afabisha miut mochim daitam batel berov." It doesn't matter how much the miut says. No, we meant to, the more chumradika interpretation. Doesn't matter for them. Even for them, it's mutter because their das is batel berov. It seems like conceptually, the way he views it is there's actually bittel among the deos at the time of the takana, and the majority kavana. Wins, and that's the takana, and it doesn't matter what an individual thought, they're butthole to the rope. I don't know what he would say about a case of pluralities, right? You have like 40% thought this, 30% thought that, 30%, what would he do? I don't know if the plurality would win or not, or if you just have it tzara shave among the various majorities for different studim. I don't know. It'd be an interesting question. Hard to determine his shita. And again, the line, the key line, nirash askamas hakal tsluya berov deos. The whole agreement depends on what the majority of opinions holds. So that's the Shit Rivash. Moving on in the Beis Yosef, and I think this will... Yes. Well, they use language that sounds like it would apply to all batim, even though they only meant it to apply to batei yechidim. No. There was no special group. It was just the default case, and the default case is that they themselves determine what they meant.
In
as to who would interpret.
Well, right.
And the default is, this Rivash, which gets passed in the Shulchan Aruch, is that you ask the Misaknim themselves, I guess when it's possible, what they meant. If they're dead, I assume then it would become a shaila as if you outsourced it, right? As if, like the Rashba's case, where you give someone a specific authority. If you can't clarify, you presumably would ask a posek to determine the din. How they would determine the din, that I think would be my focus.
So, what's the mechanism through which takana from one generation carries over to the next generation? Doesn't Rashi somewhere say, Rashi in the book of Tzia, that like the best din of each generation is the prior generation.
Interesting. If that were the case, then you'd need to look at the intent of the renewers, presumably.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah, so that you'd have to look at the renewers and their das, presumably.
Right. So it's not so much like the function of like what was the intent b'shas ha-takana?
Well, b'shas the new takana.
As much as like what's the
right. Right. Yeah, I assume that would be the case. Fine. Now I think this is we're getting moving on to the Rivash's quotes in the Beis Yosef and more core pieces. So the Kasav, again quoting the Rivash, Im Hayav Lashon Haskama Safek, Ro'i L'Hachmir B'nei Chomer HaNidui V'Acherem Shekiblu Ala Haskama Hahi Shehochem Bo L'Chomer Kamo B'Shar Nedarim. So this is an interesting point that you should always be Machmir because it's the Nether. And Stam and Darim L'Chumra, Detan, Stam and Darim L'Hachmir, V'chein Kasav Gam B'Simin, Reish Nauch Beis, Kasav Sham, She'an Nodrim Yichon L'Var Kavanasam, Mahaisa Mitchila, Im L'Hachmir, Im L'Hakel. So in the same breath, he says that you go L'Chumra, and that they're allowed to be Mevar, their Kavana. But of course, this makes perfect sense. He's working with the model of a Neder, Stam and Darim L'Hachmir, Pirushim L'Hakel, and the same thing for a Takana. They have the power to do that. But it's L'Var Kavanasam, Mahaisa Mitchila. Right, again, that consistent shita, the original intent of the people who made the takana is what controls what the halacha is, and they also have the right to clarify what their original intent was. If you look at the Rivash inside, starting from Vihine, Nirasha Kavanasam Haisa, right, this case is going to be a case where he works through the language, he thinks it's clear that they're chayav, and then he's going to say, anyways, be machmir, kastam the darim l'hachmir. Can you nerish a kavanasam haisa, she, Reb Chaim, I think it is, lo nistalik, behistalik, Reb Avram, find about who would take over for someone. They made a takana about it. Elisha achar kain ruach acharis haisa, imo, he changed his mind. Mikol elo ataamim hiskarti, nerish a din ima sofer, lefi lashon mekavanas haskamos haim. It sounds like the sofer should win the case, just based on the lashon of the takana. Don't want to go into it, feel free to look it up. But afim belashon hayasafek, hayre l'hachmir. Even if it wasn't clear that they owed the sofer this job, we should be machmir. Why? Just like any other neder, stam nedarim lahachmir. Chinami pirish tanya, nodar min hashemen, fine, mutar v'shem, mutar v'shem, shem shem, osr v'shem, zayis, v'bavel, osr v'shem, shem shem, v'chule. Because you go l'chumra. Interestingly, we're not going to spend time on this, but there's a piece elsewhere where the Rivash compares a takana not to a neder, but he compares it to avodah zarah. It's a cherem. It's like a cherem, and there's an isser. Either way, it comes out suffik isser l'chumra, but maybe there's more reason for chumra there. But the point here is, the focus on the chomer ha'isser. When in doubt, be machmir. And in another piece that the Shulchan Aruch quoted, the Shulchan Aruch quotes another piece. V'chein kasav gam b'simin reish samach beis kasav sham she'an nodrim yicholim levar kavanasa ma'isa mitchila im lahachmir im lahakel. They can clarify their position, whether lahachmir lahakel. Because of Ode, and this is going to be important, Sheroi Lomar Shekavanas HaKahal V'Haskamasam Lo Haisa Lahanish HaShogigim. They're allowed to clarify that their intention was not to punish Shogim. So what does that mean? We're gonna look now at Reish Samach Beis, and the details here, I think, are important. This becomes the primary version of this Rivash that makes into the Shulchan Aruch, and with important nuances here. So, od sha'alta, here's the shayla, kal she'eskimu, shelo yehei rashai, shum adam ba'olam, b'shum panim v'tzad v'inyin, l'hachnes yayin l'kan, no one's allowed to bring wine in, right? No person in the world, in any scenario, can bring wine here. Hei michutz l'tchum, o min ha'tchum, whether inside or outside l'tchum, el ha'yayin shepara, ba'ado, b'shas asiyasu chok, ha'in buter, l'kone ha'shisha, Lo shem yayin acher klal beknas yadua. Fine, I don't know exactly these types of yayin. It's some sort of they gave these people a monopoly on wine. Anyone else who brings wine in, that there's a cheirim on that. The kiblu aleim shekol oso yayin hamanua ye aser behana'a kedin ye nesach gamur. Part of this takana is the iser, right? It comes like ye nesach if you bring it in to the town. Shem adam ba'olam b'shem panim v'tzad. Elim yichnesu b'rishus bezin. Unless bezin allows them, oshiyu im rishus miktas anshei etzim. Maybe part of this group allows them. V'toksman haskama. So what happened? Ba echad lekan v'hichnes not echad shehevi mincha l'ruvain. He brought a present for his friend Ruvain of wine. Shelo b'rishus echam anakal. He didn't get permission. He brought into the town. V'hayasham misha amar yishava shelo heviu midas Ruvain v'yishta beheter. Someone said, well, if he makes a shvua that Ruvain didn't know about this and he really genuinely had no clue, then he could drink it beheter, it wouldn't be nasar. V'nir l'chashe sheparetz peretz al pnei peretz bataras han aso v'shdiaso. So do you think that this is an improper heter? So the Rifash answers, tshuva, fi'anir milashon ha'sheila, ha'yehudi ha'mevi yayin b'tshura eno min ha'ir. It sounds from the tshuva like he's not a citizen of the city. V'ulai lo yada b'takana sakal, maybe he had no idea about the takana. The efshavaroi, it's both possible and it would be a good thing. Shelo tia kavanas hakahal al shogegim shelo yadu b'takanasam ela al bnei iram she yadu b'takanasam v'yav ruben mezid lafkia hachok. Right, presumably this takana, and not just presumably and preferably this takana would only apply to people who knew about it, who were intentionally flouting it. That should make it into an iser. Avol osam shemi chutzli or v'lo yadu b'takanasam ein kavanasam lafkia hachok ein das hakol les or yenam lo b'hanav v'lo b'shtia. Presumably, if you didn't know about this, you're not going to asur the wine. Maybe as long as you compensate the people with the monopoly, especially for a small amount of wine you're giving as a gift, you're not even doing business. Why would the takana be meant to apply to such a person? As long as the kahal or the manhigim, whoever made the takana, say that they didn't mean to apply to this scenario, it's mutter. Now, it's going to heat up in a second. The afal pisha lashon atakana kolel shelo yehi rashai shum adam ba'olam. Right, look at the lashon again. It's pretty strong. Any person in the world, in any scenario, presumably that covers our case. Efshar she'ena kavana ela al bnei kahalam she'im tachas memshaltim of yadam l'sakin aliyah. No,
lashon atakana doesn't say that.
Well, presumably they mean it to be usher to Ruvain, let's say. Should Ruvain be able to drink this yayin?
The fact that Lashon HaTakana implies...
I thought it meant that they're making usher
for
everyone.
For everyone.
Hmm?
You want another one, people can buy it.
For evidence, but how can they usher it on someone who's not a member of the city?
They don't ask about themselves.
No, they ask themselves.
Lashon HaTakana doesn't say that.
They ask of any wine that's brought in by any person in the world, it should be usher.
Right.
Yeah,
to whom?
To them. To whoever should ask them.
They only have.
Doesn't specify an ear,
but it's a takana of the ear.
The olam has to be qualified by what the takana.
They said any wine that's brought in by anyone, it should be aser. It sounds pretty broad. It sounds pretty broad in terms of who it's including. The Rivash is saying a chiddush that maybe it only means the people in the town. V'im kain akisha aser yan al bnei akal b'hana who gam kain kisha machnas who bnei akal. So they're saying, like, right, Itamar is standing up for the Rivash's interpretation. When they aser the yan al bnei akal, that meant if the person bringing in is also a bnei akal, right? That's exactly the diak you just made. Kevan shaloshon hatakana yisbol haperish leheter. Since it can bear this perish, he seems to be admitting it's not the straightforward
that's
reading.
The variety that he brings, right? Just, like the fact that
that's what I just said. Yeah.
Is that.
Since it can bear this perish, even though it's not the preferred one, yichom anodrim levayr mahesa kavanasim intchilim lahachmir lahakel. And then you give the koach to the people who made this takana to clarify what they meant. Kiditam the perik nedarim. So what's the standard here? The people who made this takana can clarify the takana, just like any cherem, but only if lashon hatakana yisbol haperish leheter. Right, this is what Rav Lasson was referring to before. It needs to be able to bear the perish. It doesn't need to be the best reading. It needs to be a passable reading. Whether you think it is in this case or not, you know, one could debate, but definitely the Rivash thought that it was a passable reading. And then he goes on, skipping just a bit. He's explaining why you wouldn't need a heter on the neder. They're not really undoing it. You don't need to be matir neder. Amnam, and he just gives the flip side. Aser minastam, the stam nedarim lahachmir. If you don't clarify what you meant, whether you meant only citizens of the town or not, then stam nedarim lahachmir. So that's the way he says it. And this is, it seems like his settled opinion, and it seems to shed some light on the earlier cases. The primary thing is the original intent, as long as it can be interpreted into the words. If you really can't read it into the words, that's not going to go. That's not going to work. So that's why he said, since the Lashon can be sovel, this perush, we follow it. One thing we're going to just point out, and what we'll focus on in a little bit, is this idea that he says ra'ui, it's ra'ui, that you shouldn't aser something on people outside of your kahal. You shouldn't punish shogigim that didn't know about it. It's min ha-ra'ui that your takana should only apply to mezidim, to make it yein nesech. And it's not exactly clear how that works, right? Why should it matter what's min ha-ra'ui? Either they intended it or they didn't intend it. So we'll deal with this more later. But one of two things. Either it speaks to their da'as, maybe min ha-ra'ui is most likely what they were actually thinking, or maybe somehow it's its own factor that affects the process. But we'll get to that in a little bit So fine. So that's the shitas. That's the shitas rivash, that you go by the original intention, as long as the lashon can be sovel that perish. And the Darche Moshe quotes these rivashes. We're not gonna read them inside. He pretty much quotes them. Not quite word for word, but close enough that we don't need to revisit that. But he also brings down some other shitos. So he mentions. Let's see. What do I have this as? He mentions the Beis Yosef in Tesvav. So this should be, the bottom of page 5 here. Page 6. Top of page 6. He says, Kasav Beis Yosef v'choshen mishpat, maybe 6-7 lines down. Kasav Beis Yosef v'choshen mishpat tshuvas harashba. So this is our tshuvas harashba. Someone has the power to interpret all of their takana matters and the relevant ambiguous language. He can't judge based on his estimation as to what would be the best enactment. Only what he thinks fits with the language of the takana and what they meant at the time. That's the Darche Moshe. Keep that in mind, the formulation of Darche Moshe. And let's turn to our Beis Yosef in our Limud, source number 23 here. Kasav HaRashba, Shenishal, and this is going to, the Beis Yosef basically quotes the Lashon of the Rashba, which the Darche Moshe was paraphrasing. So this is a better quote. Shenishal, Hine Shekasav Bnei Yer B'takon Osem, Shein Nidon Kol Inyan Takon of Lashon Sukha Shabbat Kasher Adun Lahem Ani, fine, right? This one person has authority. Im Yesh Li Rishus, can I do what I think is best, or do I need to interpret the words? Heshiv ilu kasvu kol inyan mechudish v'chol lashon mesupak yehinidon al piploni ha'il chol adun ha'inyan ha'mechudish l'fi mashi yiralecha. If it had said any new thing, any new matter, any new inyan, then you can interpret what you think is the best. Shehibo tikkun l'inyan hatakana. Aval ilu shekasvu kol inyan hatakana v'chol lashon mesupak. They don't say inyan mechudesh. They say inyan hatakana v'chol lashon mesupak yehi nidon al piploni. I efshar leduno kirtzoncha el kfi mashi yirabi da'atcha leduno mitoch halashon. You can't do it based on what you think is best, because it's not a new inyan. It's the takana. You need to interpret the takana, the words of the takana. Sheheim lo samu biyadcha ladun ela mashu nimtza b'sefer hatakana. They only let you interpret what's in the book of the takana, the very words. The ode shelo amru shehi nidon kasher tomar ela kasher tadun, right? They didn't say kasher tomar, whatever you say, but rather kasher tadun. So these two diyukim he makes, inyan mechudesh versus inyan takana, and kasher tomar versus kasher tadun are both pointing in the same direction. The difference between whether they're giving him power to enact takanos or to interpret takanos, right? This is a judicial power or a legislative power that he was given. And the Rashba says, since you were only given the power to interpret tadun, the takana, and not to say a new inyan, you're limited in that way. You can only interpret the words. So there's two different points that the Rashba here is making. Number one, he figures out, he sets, he's koveh the language, inyan mechudesh versus inyan takana, and tomar versus tadin, that those point to giving someone interpretive power rather than legislative power. But the other point that he makes, which I think for us is the more central point, is how one interprets a takana. And what comes out is, it's based simply on the words, right? He doesn't say, try as best as you can to ascertain the original kavana, which maybe the Rivash would have said. He doesn't say, try to figure out the kavana, ask people, see if you have edim nemanim, do what you can to figure out the original kavana. No, that's not relevant. You have to figure out what the words mean. Just simply figure out. And so that's the power that the Rashba says. And this seems to be cholek on the Rivash, whereas the Rivash would say it's the original intent. The Rashba says it's the language. We're not going to look at the Rashbas inside because they basically were quoted word for word by the Beis Yosef. Somehow there are two identical Rashbas quoted in different Chalakim and different Simanim of the Shut Rashba. That's a question for people who study the history of the Shut Rashba. I don't know why that happened, but those are the Shut Rashbas. But let's compare now for a second what the Rashba says, as quoted in the Beis Yosef, to the way that he's brought down in the Darche Moshe. Right, again, jumping back up to towards the top of page 6, the second new paragraph. So what does he say when he quotes the Beis Yosef quoting the Rashba? A little game of telephone here. Shivas Rashba calls us Takana, Kol Inyani Atakana, Kol Hashem Subuk, Sheba, Nidon, Al Piploni. That part, the Shaila, he got more or less word for word. What's the din? Ein lo oso dayan ladun be'omed dato, kfi tikkun ha'inyan. He can't decide what he wants. Elo, what does he do? Rak mashenira be'enav, that what? Shes sovel lashon ha'takana, u'le'ezid davar kivnu. So what did the Rama do? The Rama mixed together the Rashba with the Rivash. It's not what the words say, which is what the Rashba said. It's what the kavana was and what the language will be sovel. So the Rama is it seems like he's mixing together the two shitos, and for him he obviously accepts the part of the Rashba as to they're given power of interpretation rather than power of legislation. But what is the power of interpretation? It's not to figure out what the words mean. It's to figure out le'ezid davar kivnu, as long as the lashon is sovel that, right? So that sounds like it's really the Rivash's definition of interpretation, along with the Rashba's idea that he's only allowed interpretation and not legislation power. Yeah.
So, I thought the difference in the cases is that Rivash is talking about a case they didn't designate somebody with the authority to interpret the Lashon.
Right.
Rivash.
Well, why not? There's two separate questions here. One is who's Mefaresh, and obviously in the two cases are different people. The other question is how are you Mefaresh?
Right. So once you designate somebody with Koach Lefaresh, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this guy has, even according to the Rashba. So how do you figure out Lashon Mesupak?
Right.
So sometimes you can figure out Lashon Mesupak through like semantic interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you can figure out Lashon Mesupak through reconstructing the intent about when it was written.
Maybe. If the Rashba had said that, I would agree with you. But the Rashba didn't say that. The Darche Moshe says that.
But where do you see anything in the Rashba that's like inconsistent with that?
Well, let's look at the words in the Rashba. He says... simply the language. It's not about nothing to do with kavana. Why would you say anything about kavana? There's nothing in the Rashba that implies anything about kavana.
Yeah,
it's all about the lashon.
But he's contrasting that.
Of course, right. That's one point he's making. You don't have legislative power. You only have interpretive power. But his definition of interpretive power is simply what the words mean. It's simply a strict constructionism, right? Just what the words mean, not the interpretive, not the original intent of the drafters of the legislation. I think you can force the Rashba into the Rivash, and in fact, the Darche Moshe did that, but I don't see it in the Rashba.
The Lashon is totally ambiguous, right? The Lashon is not machriel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then maybe we'd have to resort to the other Rashba we saw in Yud Ches, where you'd have to say, maybe you go by Motzei Mechaver Al Varaya, maybe you go by you don't apply the Takana because you have to prove that it applies. I don't know. But I see no reason, again, the Darche Moshe says it, and that's his Shita, but I see no reason in the Rashba itself to say that you look at Kavana.
Do you see anything in the Diyukim that the Rashba makes that implies that it'll be limited to the Lashon?
That's all he says. He says, what does it mean to interpret? It means to look at the Lashon and what the Lashon means.
But does Diyukim have to do with Lodun and
Of course, because that's the difference between judicial interpretive power and legislative power. That was one point he was making. But the other point he's making more implicitly in Achinami, but the point, when he, what is interpretive power? It's simply the what the words mean. Mitocha lashon didn't say anything about kavana. He could have said, partially they look at the words, they also talk to the people who made the takana, try to figure out what, he doesn't say anything about that. I mean, right, he just says, they look at what the words say.
The question is why, I mean, this contrast here is,
oh, again, yes, the Rashba is making two distinct points here. Yes. He's saying, Ritzoncha is if you would legislate a new ruling, or you'd want to do whatever you wanted with this din, so then yeah, you can do whatever you want. That's up to you completely. If you don't have legislative power, you only have interpretive power, you need to interpret. How do you interpret? You just interpret the words. That's all. It's that straightforward. That again, you could say when he says interpreting the words, it means the kavana, which is what the Darchei Moshe seems to be doing, but I don't see any basis for that in the Rashba. It's a chiddush, major chiddush to say that in the Rashba. Fine. So if we have the Rashba, we have the Rivash. One thing we could ask, in addition to Itamar's questions, is whether the different scenarios dictate the different din. Meaning, maybe the Rivash and the Rashba aren't arguing about how to interpret. Maybe the way one should interpret applies differently in different scenarios. Meaning, maybe as long as you have the original misaknim, they can then you go by original intent. But as soon as you don't have the original misaknim and you just have someone else, so then he doesn't have real access to the original intent. Or to the extent he does, it's going to be complicated and people, you know, he wasn't there. He's going to have to ask people. That won't really work as well, or try to reconstruct from the lashon what they intended. He should just go with the lashon. It's a lot simpler. Maybe there's no machlokes really between the Rashba and the Rivash, and they're just talking about different scenarios. That interpretation, if it's the original misaknim interpreting, then they go by the original intent. If it's someone else interpreting, then he goes by the lashon. That's possible. It's also possible to say, like the Darchei Moshe said, that really everyone agrees that interpretation is always based on intent, as long as the lashon can be sovel. And it's also possible to say that that the Rashba and the Rivash disagree in both cases, that whether or not it's the original misaknim interpreting the text, the machlokes is whether you go by the original intent, or which is what the Rivash would say, or whether you go by the language as the Rashba would say. Okay, so this Rashba is, interestingly enough, brought up in a tshuva of a Beit Din Rabbani, one that ironically is about a case involving Mafdal that had Rav El Yashiv sit on it. So it's Rav El Yashiv involving himself in Mafdal matters, even though I think later on politically he was involved in a different party. But as the case may be, we have this interesting psak, a fight between the Tzi'irei Mafdal and the Mafdal organization about how to work with some election results. The details are not significant for our purposes. The Beis Din quotes the Rashba, and then they explain in the paragraph starting Mivoar. At the top of page 7, Mivar Shemisha Nidna Lo Asamchus Lefarish Sveikos, person who has the power to interpret a Safek, Kocho Eno El Lefarish, as Mashu Nimtza Kasu Vesefar the Kanu Mashmaz Lashon, he can just interpret what the words are saying. Aval Eno Musmech Lechadish Halacha, he can't make up a new halacha or a new takana. Gamim Yerayelo Ki Halacha Zo To Emes as Rucha Shalat Takana, even if he thinks the spirit of the law, not a term I like to use, but they used it, the spirit of the law in the takana, would extend to this case, right? They think, as far as they can reconstruct, the intent of the misaknim or the goals of the misaknim, they would apply. Still, v'yeshmo mishim tikkun ha'inyan would even be good. Asher lishmo tukna ha'takana. Even so, samchus gonzo eina ela l'misha hunka lo beferish hasamchus arachava likbo b'chol inyan mechudash. Unless you're explicitly given the authority to make new takanos, you cannot extend the logic of a previous takana. If you can just deal with the lashon, that's all you can do. Even though this authority applies to the whole takana, he's interpreting the takana, still it's limited to the language. Fine. And then the Rashba also points out Kasher Tadon versus Kasher Tomar. Ki amila tadon perushahu samchus ledion b'meskaris mashmuusam shaladvar maksuv mesefar takana v'zubavad. Tadon is just interpreting the language. Ulam pirish habitui kasher tomar hu kasher tomar lefi shikol ve'omed datcha. Tomar is your judgment more broadly. Kach yakum b'yehei. Gam kshadvar mashmuus tomar inu mashmuus ksava ulashona shalatakana, even if it's not quite in the words, vavachi ulatikuna inyana al piruchu matarasa. So maybe, I'm not sure if he's doing this or not, or if the Diana is doing this. Maybe Itamar, they're using the Rashba's two diukim to make two separate two points. I'm not sure I saw this in the Rashba, but what they're saying, I think, is that Inyan Mechudesh versus Inyan Hatakana is the difference between legislation and interpretation, whereas Tadun versus Tomar is the difference between strict constructionism, strict interpretation of the words, and some broader interpretive power. I think they may be making that deal at the end, I'm not certain. Either way, I think the Rashba comes, they definitely think the Rashba comes out like that, however they exactly see it in the Rashba. So if you say, right, that whoever decided the election results or whatever the case was, they interpreted the words, but they interpreted the words wrong. Well, too bad for you. They were given exclusive power to interpret the words. What's implicit here is if you would say they weren't interpreting the words, they were being misakin something new, then this Rashba would say that you do have a claim against them. But fine, but that's the Rashba. Rashba brought down Lahalacha. It's also, I think the same case was appealed, and a different Bezdin confirmed it as well in source number 27. Hari mitzvah v'pishen no mar kfar b'psak adin shel bezin agadol she'asamchus hi lefarish mashakasuv b'sefer takanos mashmaros halashon v'lo lechadish dvarim. The same idea, just interpreting the words, not to say new things, and that's they decided there as well. So that's the shitas harashba as far as we saw it. Now, until this point, both the Rashba and the Rivash would agree that if the lashon is clear and cannot be interpreted more than one way, or cannot be interpreted in a certain way, it doesn't matter. You can't say that the din is that way, right? Meaning, even the Rivash, who says you go by the original intent, it's only to the extent that the lashon can be sovel that perish. If the lashon can't be sovel the perish, it doesn't matter what the intent was. You cannot go in that direction. However, there'll be a method.
But wouldn't the Rivash say that if you asked most of the people who made takana and they said this is not what we had in mind, even if the lashon is mashma that way, that's about the
So, I mean, there was a little note there at the end of one of those shuas where he said, as long as they said they meant to say words that would mean it's usser, then it's usser. Even if they didn't want to usser it, if they meant to say the words that would usser it, Dvar Shalevian and Dvar. He had that point at the end. So it seems like the Rivash can't go past that point, although we'll see, there may be room for that, but at least what we've seen so far, it sounds like not, right? He had that interesting formulation that if they meant to say words that would osir it, but they didn't mean to osir it, as long as they actually meant to say things that would osir it, clearly they don't have any recourse. That's what we've seen from both the Rashba and the Rivash. However, the Dar Hamosh is now going to bring down two other Rishonim and Chuvos that will give us a way out, a way that even though the text cannot mean something, to allow for interpretation, if you want to call it that, or rewriting of the shtar, such that, or the takana, such that it will apply to those things. So he quotes the Chuvos HaRash. Now we're at 22b on page 7, back in the Darkei Moshe, but Chuvos HaRash, Kasaval Takana Sakal Shenichtav Bata'us. There's an error. Im Kol HaKahal Modim Shehu Ta'us. Everyone agrees it's a mistake. Pshita Shemasaknim, that you can fix the error and go and have your corrected takana mitukan, and that will apply. V'im chalukim medavar, azlina basar arov, you don't need them all to agree. As long as the majority of the misafnim agree that the current text of the takana is in error, you just fix the error, and then you go and apply the takana in the corrected form. We look at the Rush himself. He'll give a nice example. It's very clear as to what he's referring to. Ojilam denu adoni hatzibur, sh'azu takana v'eskim lehotzi ruvein ben Yaakov miklal takana. They want to kick Reuven ben Yaakov, or exclude Reuven ben Yaakov from the Sakana. V'nimtza kasuv b'ksav v'dakana, Reuven ben Yitzchak. Right? You know, all these, the Avos, all their names are interchangeable. People get confused. They excluded Reuven ben Yitzchak instead of Reuven ben Yaakov. V'hinei hu rotza lios pater kashu yoyed olav ksav akahal. We know that Reuven ben Yaakov is the one who wants to be pater. We even have some sort of, sounds like we have some notes to that effect. Kichei mechol safek hanolad holchen achar ha ksav. Right. Right. Reuven Yaakov wants to be properly in the Ksav HaKahal as the person excluded, but the text of the Takana seems to say someone else. So Tshuva, Al Tal Sheyesh Ben Reuven Ben Yaakov Reuven Yitzchak Im Yesh Safek B'Davar Ez Meim Hotziu Yelchu Achar Ksav. If there's really a Safek, you can't resolve the Safek as to who as to what who is excluded, Reuven Yaakov, Reuven Yitzchak. Then you follow the text. Aval im ein safik b'davar v'akol modim v'akol omer she'eskimu lahotzi Reuven Yaakov im shaga sofer b'zat lo hifsid Reuven Yaakov. Right, if everyone agrees that the decision was to exclude Reuven Yaakov from the sakana, and the sofer confused the names, that has no impact. The sakana was Reuven Yaakov. Ve'ein zeh safek hanolad sheyelchu achar aksav. V'makol chalukim yamdu leminyan v'yelchu achar rov. And so that's if it's clear. What if it's not clear? If it's machlokes, they have take a vote. The yelchu achar rov im Reuven yomer sheskim lehotzi Reuven Yaakov ve'hasofer ta'a yelchu achar rov. If everyone agrees or the majority agrees that they said Reuven Yaakov, not Reuven Yitzchak. So you follow the Rov and you correct the Takana, even though, of course, the language is clear. The language says Yaakov, Reuven Yitzchak. It cannot be clearer who it's talking about. We ignore the language because of the reason of Taos. Now, this is an interesting idea of Taos. Usually, when we talk about Taos, Taos sort of undoes everything, right? I don't know. If you say, there's something not clear about this decision, well, we didn't have all the information, so the whole thing is batel. Here, the taos is not to undo the decision, but to correct the decision. Right? They don't need to go back again and make a new takana for Reuven and Yaakov. They just need to say this is a taos and vote that it was a taos, and then automatically they can correct the text to Reuven ben Yaakov instead of Reuven ben Yitzchak, and it applies to Reuven ben Yaakov. Presumably, even Lamafreya, right before they made that. Presumably, they're just being megala what the original takana was through this. That's what they're saying. Right. So I guess this, if you wanted to go the direction Itar was going before, you could say, well, the Takana is really not the text. The text is like a paraphenomenon. The real Takana is what they agreed on. They're just clarifying what they agreed on, and it's not really Taos. I mean, the Taos is in the language. It's not a Taos in the Takana per se. That could very well be what's going on here. So that's the rush, and that's, I think, a basic case of Taos. We're going to see in a bit a more complicated case. The Darche Moshe brings down the Radach here. Because of Radach, whatever, Bais Yud Beis, Cheder Beis, Shadun in Takana Lefi Mashin Nireh, Shahaisa Kavanasam, Vishas HaTakana, Kimo Bishar Neder. Just read the words, it sounds like the Rivash. You judge the Takana based on what it appears their intent was at the time of the Takana, right? If I didn't know better, I would think this is just the Rivash once again. Okay, we already said the Rivash. But if you actually look at the Radach, it's a lot more complex. So we have the Radach here, source number 29. We'll start just the beginning, and then we're going to skip. The beginning, I don't think is on the sheet. The first line, Me'atani Omer, Afilu Madin Hayanosein, Shicholim Hamiot, Levatlo, Masha'ina MS Kane, Lo Tovasu Ami. Fine, he's not happy about being Levatlo, the case. But fine, jumping to what we have on the sheet, V'chein Nami Benidon Didan. Our case, Mistama al das gedolei hakol shahayu baskamasam nasa. Find what they agreed upon was done. He wants to uphold the agreement. Yeah. Fine. I'm not sure how relevant that part is. V'chein nami baskamas she'osma kehilos al das kein osin osam she'atir osam gedolei maskamas rubam she'adei anot bekach. Fine. The early part is him establishing this idea that you can. That when there's a takana, the assumption is it can only be undone through, or can be undone through gedolim, unless it's aldas the kahal. And jumping now to the second paragraph, aval kibenidon didan didvar mitzvahu, right, where he's saying that it's a dvar mitzvah. Ve'amrina paragraph shaleach the ein lo hafara. Usually, something that's aldas rabim does not have hafara el dvar mitzvah, except in the case of dvar mitzvah. Kasav Mordechai b'shem Rabbeinu Tam. The atam whom yishum the tzarich das rabim lahatir hol v'nader al datam. Fine, if you're nader al das rabim, the rabim need to do it. He's going to interpret this Rabbeinu Tam in a particular way that'll be very significant. So jumping to the underline, lachein ner lomar. The Rabbeinu Tam moden nami the al das rabim mishum dalim milsa tuva ein lo hafara. If you make a neder or a takana al das rabim, you cannot undo it. Ella. The ledvar mitzvah anansadi the beoso rega atzmo shenadar al das rabim haisadato the ledvar mitzvah lo yeheha neder neder. So you can never undo a neder al das rabim or a takana, except in the case of dvar mitzvah. The presumption is that when they made the neder, they never meant to include dvar mitzvah in the neder or in the takana. Imkain harayu ki ilu lo chal neder al datam el davar harishus was only chal legabe davar harishus mistama. Das Rabim Shiyachu Neder Vishlo Yeh Mufar. But in the normal case of Das Rabim, it can never be Mufar. V'chein Ner Nami Miyashet. So he makes this point. This is the first point that we presume that a neder das rabim that can't be undone would not be made when it comes to a dvar mitzvah. Because who would want to make a neder that ended up clashing with a dvar mitzvah at some point? V'chein nira mimasha kazarinu nisim zal bishmo in shem rabinu tam shu gorim or gores kiahu mikri dar diki. This teacher, they hired a teacher, they made a neder or a takana to hire a teacher. V'amar delo amrin until dvar mitzvah yesh lo hafara. You can only undo a neder of our mitzvah in a case like that one. Ke'en nidre tos, such a it's equivalent of a tos. Shehayu sovrim shehatinokos yatzlichu yoser b'limudan b'mekari dar deki acher. They thought that this new rebbe would be better for the talmidim. They made a mistake, so therefore it's like a tos, and we undo, or we never had the takana to or the neder to have this rebbe in the school. B'nimtza behefer. It ended up being the opposite of what they intended. If it's not directly based on the neder, the mitzvah is somehow tangentially related, ain lo hafar. In that case, you can't be mefer. Fine. So the what the Radach says here is something that's very fascinating, which is we have this ability to reconstruct the intentions of the Misaknim. They didn't tell us that they wouldn't do it in a case of mitzvah. We didn't ask them. We didn't even try to figure that out. We have an anansadi, a presumption that when they made the neder, al das rabim, they never would have done it against the mitzvah. And his raya for that, for the interpretation of their kavana, it's actually not from a case of kavana. It's really from a case of taos, in a sense, right? He says it's a taos. So it's almost like he's talking at two different types of scenarios, and he's connecting them. He's saying they're related, both of figuring out the original da'as and figuring out it's a case of taos. Now, the case of taos here is very different than the one we saw in the rush. In the rush, the taos was a simple taos sofer, a scribal error. Here, the error was one in judgment, right? They thought that this rebbe would be good, and they made a whole neder to hire this rebbe. It turns out their judgment was incorrect. This rebbe wasn't good, and that's the Ron says that's a taos, and that means that since they never would have made the neder to go against the mitzvah, the whole thing never gets off the ground. So it seems like what's going on here in the Radach is different than anything we've seen previously. First of all, it's different than the Rush because the type of talos is very different. It's not just they wrote the wrong thing down. It sounds like what they agreed on was hiring this Rebbe. Turns out we're undoing that. That was the talos. The very thing they decided was the talos. It's also different than the Rivash, because we're not simply reconstructing what they thought. Where it sounds like we have some principle, some anansadi, that defines for us what they thought. Or even if, you know, we're not trying to ask historically what happened. We have an anansadi that guides our interpretation. It's certainly not the Rashba, because, you know, the words simply say to hire this Rebbe, and we're ignoring that completely. So what exactly is the Mahalach here? It sounds like there's this idea that certain ideas, such as not wanting to go against the mitzvah, can be presumed as valid in being used towards the interpretation of what they meant. That's this anansadi. They wouldn't want to make a takana against the dvar mitzvah. So it must be that their takana wasn't against the dvar mitzvah, regardless of, you know, we're not trying to figure out what they actually meant when they spoke. We're just, we have this principle that I guess you call it communal good, or not going against the mitzvah, that determines what their kavana was originally. And the same thing would work for taos.
It's still an interpretive principle.
Of course. Not only is it interpretive principle, it's, I think, what Dworkin calls the interpretive theory of law, in a sense. That you have certain philosophical guiding principles, in this case, not going against the mitzvah, and that can help define your interpretation, even if you're not reconstructing precisely for what they meant originally, or their intent, or the words. Those play a certain role, but the primary or the another guiding factor is this principle that you have here used as an anansadi of not going against the mitzvah, not having a neder that would cause them to violate a mitzvah down the line. I don't know if
What indication do you have that it's that, like, for this Dworkin-esque idea, rather than just that Mistama, when a kehila gets up and they make a takana, they have all these implicit provisos in mind, that they don't want to run afoul of Divrei Mitzvah, and that they want to be Mekayim Mitzvahs in the best way.
And on Sadiski, it will be written.
Right.
Well, Kilu, it's written, but we're not going by what's written. We're going by their intention. So I think there's two ways of construing this radach. One of them is that it's simply there's no added principle here. It's really just a beefed up rivash, right? It's really about the original intent, and this is some this is some insight into people's intent. That's one way of taking it. The other way of taking it is that it's really an independent or it's a guiding principle that tells us what the intention is, even if you wouldn't be able to, even if it wasn't a reasonable thing with those people in that scenario. Let's say you thought, no, these people don't care. They've made other takanos that were clearly against mitzvah. You asked them, they said, of course I make takanos against mitzvahs all the time. I don't care. Still, in this case, maybe we'd say the Anan Sadi still overrides. Does he say it's because they're not a Varyanim? Fine, so maybe not in that extreme case. Even if you ask someone, would you...
It's no longer a Dworkin-esque principle.
No, it's not Dworkin.
Right. Uh-huh. You don't see it as a guiding principle, even if it doesn't...
Mefurish.
Mefurish that.
Whatever the Anansadi is. Anansadi deal with the approach.
Anansadi dev oso rega atzmo shenadar adas rabim haisa daita.
But why don't we say that you should try to also look into what they meant... What they meant at the time.
As I was saying, you would, if they're Rishayim and Sadi wouldn't apply.
But what's the basis of the Anan Sadi? It's a formal principle that's detached from. So why is he saying it defines the Kavana? I should say it defines the Ksav. Why is he saying it defines the Kavana at the time?
The Ksav is meaningless. It's what you want. The Ksav is just a record.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that?
I wasn't committing to that. I was saying it was a particular Hezber. Okay, so I think this sounds like the Kahal here prefers the weaker version, the Rivash plus version, rather than the independent principle.
I've heard it's a question about the Lashon of Sovel.
I think the Lashon of Sovel multiple things, but I will not push the point. Different degrees of savlanus. Right. And I guess the question you have on this radach is how far he takes it. I mean, if your concept of toos, especially, can extend so far as in we made a mistake, therefore we never made a decision, so, how does that work? If they make a takana, taxes this year are $10, then they have a shortfall at the end of the year, can they say, oh no, it was a toos, really the taxes were $20 for the year? And that retroactively works? Does that count? Like to what degree can we say that we made a bad decision, therefore we didn't make a decision, or therefore we made a different decision? It seems like it's a very powerful principle, maybe too powerful. You'd have to figure out where you cap it and what basis you would use to cap it. Right? Anan Sadi, the Takana, the Kahal would never make a decision that would lead to a budget shortfall. Must be that they wanted different things, right? Anytime they hire someone with a takana, that was a bad hire. That sounds like from the run that's null and void. So that's a huge chiddush. Would they not need to pay him his salary for the year because they never hired him? Like, how far does this go?
Well, far depend on those sugyas of you saw your nechassim adai del mesa garet Yisrael.
I still think it's a strong. It's the biggest chiddush we've seen. I mean, it's much more than the rush. It's much more than anyone who's. That we've seen that's talked about Taos. We have the Radach's consistent in a different Shuva Bais Kavches. He's consistent at least with the focus on the Kavana. Kol de Milsa de Haskamos v'Takanos Amdina Das Misakne Takanta. We try to figure out their intention, the intention of the people who are Misakin. Bein Lahotzi Mimashmos Haskama v'Takana Mashir Lanu Bein Lahachnis Lahosif B'Chal Takana Mashalo Pirishba. So it sounds like there's some wiggle room. We have, even aside from what they were explicitly misakein, we have some wiggle room to interpret based on their intention one direction or the other, right? So this is actually in some ways more explicit than what we saw in the Rivash as to the impact of going by Kavana, that we have more wiggle room. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost as if, like, isn't he saying that the Takana is still open?
Is that what he's saying, or is he just saying there's... Right, it's part of the Takana.
Yeah. That's part of part of Takana that which should be flexible.
Right, you go by the
way we need to.
You go by the Kavana, right? The Kavana gives you some flexibility. Yeah. So this sounds like, you know, a strong version of the Rivash of Kavana. The other piece, you know, it doesn't. It's not a case of this other Anansadi or similar, but it definitely seems to put him in the Rivash's camp. Whether or not he has an additional strong principle or an additional weak principle or whatever it may be, fine. And
doesn't it sound like he's saying almost this idea that you quoted the Bezdin Yerushalayim is rejecting by the Ruach HaTakana?
Yeah, it definitely sounds like that because this is the Rivash. This is not the Rashba, right? So I think that's that the Rashba would disagree with this. He's in the Rivash's camp.
But even the earlier.
Why? The Rashba says you go by the Lashon. The Rashba says nothing about Kavana. And I don't know if you caught the Psak Din of that Bezdin in Queen Rebel Yashiv, but it sounded like they really excluded, as Zimmer was saying, excluded an interpretation like this that you can expand based on the original intent. You're really just technically, you know, exegeting the words with no broader conception as to the goals of the or and parameters of the original takana and its intention. Umdin and Mukha can tell you what the words mean, but I don't think he can tell you to extend. Oh, I'm saying for the Rashba. I was saying for the Rashba. Yeah, but here for the Radach and the Rivash, it does more than that. It does more than just tell you what the words mean.
Right. And the Rashi went too. Is that different than the
if it's believe what we've called Adam, you say if it's a real Umdud Muchach, that would define the interpretation in a certain direction. I think this is going further than that, yeah. And with which the Rashba would disagree with. Which case are we referring to? It was like a communal. It was the Mafdal's party rules. I thought it was some election of who could get a something like that. Yeah, I could look it up. Yeah. But I mean, they applied it as if it was a takana. Well, they quoted the Rashba, right?
You quote the Rashba, yeah. But Takana Satsibur, it's an organization, it's like a shutzpah. What do they mean with it? It's like an ordinary chayza.
But then why'd they have a need to invoke the Rashba? You're disagreeing with the psak.
I don't know what I'm doing. I can't figure out what's happening here. There you're dealing with,
there they simply were saying that the judgment could only be made on the words of the, you know, the language in the Mafdal document, and not based on other factors. I don't have it on the sheet. We could pull it up.
Page 7 is a little bit.
I skipped a fair amount.
Without elections.
Right.
No, they can do what they want. They can start.
Because that's what the rule was made for this.
Right.
So there should be this disagreement afterwards.
Right.
I don't see that as a steer to do with that.
It's fitting that way.
Yeah.
But what they say in their decision, they say that
what you want to do, maybe you could feed the Ruach, whatever the Ruach is, I don't know what that means anyway. But this political organization. But that's what the takanas were made to apply in this kind of situation.
But the previous...
We don't have an umdil ahead. We have access, we have a clear umdil. We do what we want, because we'll be able to take that, and we know what they want.
Right, so umdil is definitely override, but what if there's no umdil? You just have the words, and you have some...
So there's no spirit, because here I just have words. I don't have umdil. In their case, whatever the case was, didn't have an umdil.
So you're saying that what? The Rashba is talking about a case where there's no umdil. The Rivash is talking about a case where there is an umda, and they really agree. But
I don't see a makhluk this
kind. Okay, so that, I mean, that's the reason I would see it as a makhluk is because their lashonos are sound like they're conflicting. The Rashba says you go by the lashon that's written. The Rivash says you go by the kavana. I mean, the Rivash isn't invoking umdana to explain why to follow kavana. He says the definition of a takana, it's valid based on the kavana. The Rashba says you interpret based on the lashon. It sounds like they're working on different tracks. And certainly the way the psak din in the first version of it, in source number 26, the first psak, when they at the top of page 7 where it says mivoar, their understanding of the Rashba, which they had just quoted, sounds like it would disagree with the with, let's say, the Rivash, the Radach, the broader interpretation based on original intent.
First thing is,
the Bezdin
didn't think it was a Machlokes.
The Bezdin?
The Ur Piskei Din.
Uh-huh.
26.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was Machlokes, they'd have to discuss both. It's
not real. So why are they quoting the Rosh, but then they should have to bring in the... They should have to...
They consider it irrelevant.
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming they knew it.
But maybe they think that this is really its own. Okay. So I guess I'm done with the Takanos part of things for the time being. And we're going to look at parallels by Shtar, specifically Simon Samech Vav. In Choshen Mishpat that talks about Shtar and Tnai that has some parallel questions that are relevant for our sugya as well. We'll start with the tour on Samach Aleph. He has like sort of a he doesn't really have much mafarshim on it. It's based on questions he asked the Rush. So we'll just read Test 3 Yud Gimel. It's really one topic. Shesha Alta. He goes to collect himself without bringing in bezdin. He sold the other fellow's things. That was in the shtar. You can collect however you want, sell it whatever you want. You don't need bezdin. You can do whatever you want to collect the money. That was in the shtar, so he did it. Tshuva emes hu. It's true that they wrote that. You can't just show up, even if it says in the shtar, you need bezdin. So that's case number one. Case number two. There you go, collect in whichever bezdin. Who says you can just go to Dine Akum? Even if he said it clearly, even if the guy allows it, we say we don't let him. So what does it mean? What do the words in the shtar mean? Or the statement? Yesh the farsho, shelo la'akor divrei Torah, could go in igavra alma huvein koach b'dinei Yisrael l'kofo. No. It must be that when he said Bein B'dinei Akum, it's in that scenario where Bezin can't take care of it. It says he can collect however he wants to just sell all his stuff without Bezin. It's usher. So presumably we're not going against the halacha. So what does the word mean? If you can't find the bezdin, then you can do it. That we still do harsha despite having these things in the shtar. So the practice confirms his position. You don't follow the lush in the shtar as if it goes against halacha. Kol shekein b'dvar malalu sheyesh avera b'davar. Especially if there's an avera, you're not going to go against. You're not going to follow the shtar. Sheyesh lefarish halashon b'inyan shelo yehei bo aver. You have to reinterpret the shtar. It doesn't sound like that's what it means. It sounds like it means you go to Akka whenever you want. You sell his things, however, whenever you want without bezdin. But we reinterpret it to us to avoid doing an avera. So This is not really, this is about a shtar. The shtar is very clear. I don't even know if you can say this is an umdana about the das, to what we said before, right? Sounds like these people, maybe they are Rishayim. Maybe these people want to, you know, he wants to have more power over the other person's land. He wants to be able to go to Akum. And yet, at least arguably, yet in such a case, the Torah says that we reinterpret the Lashon so as not to have it entail an Avera. It can't. What do you mean? As to whether you're saying even if the shtar does allow for it, it's still usher for him to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's not what the Torah says, though.
That's what I'm asking.
Right.
Why does it say?
Maybe because some people will only listen if you tell them that there's a chiyuv mamoni or there's an isser mamoni and not if there's a other isser b'din. I don't know. Just or maybe the isser b'din falls away for somehow. Let's say a case where the isser right the bezin taka the bezin can't take care of it. Now is it in the shtar or not? Is the shtar valid or not? That what?
He's putting this in for our yonim who aren't sized demons, who are telling this is what it means.
Just as or, to fool them.
Or he's saying, lahafiz daitom.
So you think this is not lehalacha? This tour is not
lehalacha? I think it's not lehalacha.
It's irrelevant.
I think there's a basic problem. Mm-hmm. You can infer from the tour that you can be right a shtar to be a real different tour. I thought you read it that way.
So maybe he's only talking for a scenario where the din falls away.
He's saying, I can interpret the shtar that way also, so don't bother me.
For the avaryanim who are reading the tour?
For the ones who would, I don't know what they're doing. He's saying, there's no problem here. It happens all the time. It happens, not at any moment in this. The people want to do certain things for whatever reason. And you tell them two things. You want to tell them the truth. The halacha, I don't care what you're telling. You have to do whatever you're doing. And besides, it doesn't conflict with what your other consideration is.
Mm-hmm.
Having an end of life all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Okay. If one does read the Torah, though, as talking about straight halacha, it sounds like he's applying this principle that, this interpretive principle of shtaros. We interpret shtar as not going against the law, even if the das was not in that direction. It does sound like that.
The Rush, which I think he's quoting over here, says that it's a principle, the Mishnah from Russia. And so a person can't.
Why should I say it's not?
Right. Fine, but did but even
why
if.
Why does he have to do this?
Fine, but does it matter what his das was?
Yeah, why do I care whether he's a Russian or not a Russian? You've got a shtar. I'll tell you what that
looks like. But we can't. Can't allow the shtar to incriminate the parties on their own.
The line not for me. The line not for me, but don't, if I won't enforce it.
It's like a non-sadi.
Why do I have to say it?
Why do I have to say, being the din yakos?
What's the nafkamina he's asking?
What's the nafkamina? That's what they say, so the Rush says there, in that discussion, that it means that you could be tovei and yigavra almu, like the Torah.
Right, in that scenario. Okay, good, right. So in that scenario where the isser falls away, you still have the shtar.
We interpret it in a way of their
instead of being mechaset tzavchayla, when somebody comes and says that I have a tzavoa, a living will, and says I'm terminal, don't do anything for me, and I reply by saying you believe in din to do it, she's not terminal. Don't tell me she's terminal. Why do I add the second book? What am I adding? And often that's not true. It's lohofis naito. She's coming with the opposite hashkofa, and I'm trying to convince her.
Right.
I didn't have to add the second for Dina.
Right.
I'm doing it so she should recover the first.
Right.
I said that the only way you can interpret it, you have one two pieces to this. You can tell me the Torah says that Ishtar, Lavra, or Pina, is Kal. I'll go explain it. Or you can tell me, since he said that you can interpret the shtar in different territory. So, number one, why should I not be done with Kassus? He's a nice guy. Don't go away saying I said how terrible he was.
Right.
And you can't force the shtar. And besides, this is probably the Lashon HaShtar also.
Right.
In which case, you can do stuffing from this.
Okay. I'm working on the tzad that one can deduce from it, if Bershus.
Yes. In which case, you've got a real problem.
Of?
And then you
add not only what you think you get, you may add, but you have a tour that says that you already started off from the Rebbe. And all I have to make you into a tzaddik, you didn't mean it. What do you have to make a tzaddik for? It makes no difference.
You're saying it shouldn't be chalik, it shouldn't get off the ground.
I'm right. Saying that you're observing the Torah, mm-hmm. then you have a new chiddush in the Torah. That the Torah is saying that Shtar Alat Rav Livri Torah, I will enforce.
No, the Bezdin couldn't enforce it, and so they have to interpret it in the only way that's enforceable.
Why? So throw it out. If it's not enforced, throw it out. You can't just make up a new Shtar.
I think the Torah would concede that if there was no way of interpreting it derech hetar, then they would throw out the shtar.
Well, that's not what the Prisha says. The Prisha and the next Makor says, Mashma de ilo matzi lefarsho b'inyan acher, hayuholchem achar alashon. The Prisha says black and white, that if you can't interpret it, that it's only talking about if it's a alam v'chule, you follow the lashon, and then he can collect in an akam, he can collect by seizing the assets without going to Bez. And that's the Prisha, at least. The Farish says that that's what was that's what would be implied.
Only because he holds that there's no Isser Masna Mashkas about Torah.
Right. And the emphasis of the Torah, and it's not be Alma Avalina.
Right.
Because
he thinks that there is a way to read it, but there's Heter that allows you to go through our codes because it's Naisha the Mama.
Fine, but that gets around Rai Bleich's issue, and then you're left with the simple, right, the core Sugya that we're talking about here, about Parish Lashon Shtar, right? And one can, and right, even though it wouldn't be Masna Mashkasov in either case, we still, when possible, prefer, as an interpretive principle, prefer to interpret the Shtar as not going against the Torah. Right? Even if there's no, according to the Prisha at least, even though there's no fundamental steer, there's no fundamental problem, it would get off the ground. When possible, we prefer to interpret it such that it's not going against the Torah. That's what comes out of the Prisha, I think.
I think the Prisha would say in any case it's not going against the Torah.
Right.
Right,
right,
and you
right.
Could not
and,
have interpreted it as going against Torah.
And so, okay, so if there's an Efsharis to interpret it, that it's only talking about a case where he can't go to Beis Din, so why do we go against the Lashon? Why do we say, no, it's only talking about, why would we interpret it, as the Torah said, why would we only interpret it, why would we, if possible, interpret it as saying that it's talking about a scenario where he couldn't go to Beis Din? Why? It's not Masa Mashiach either way.
That's
what
that issue
is.
There's some tension here between the Torah and the Prisha and the Sekelim here about whether this would be.
The Prisha thinks he's being mefarish the Torah. He's not. The Prisha's not arguing. He doesn't think he's arguing at least.
That's the discussion here. It's like whether this Snai or Ko should be.
Yeah, the old Prisha's adding is that the Kinyan will help for a Kohen.
The Kinyan would.
After Kinyan, you can go Tarkos. And now the question is, what did he mean when he did this? If you write it in every Shtar, then it's not negative.
Right, fine. That's a different. Right. But.
And it's really in our Kohen's machlokas, whether it's Snai, Shtar, or Mammon, it could work to override the Shtar Kohen's.
But there's two separate questions here. One is whether there's the problem of it getting off the ground at all or not. And what the Prisha is saying is that he assumes there's never such a problem, right? And yet, in a case where it's Efshar Lefarsho, as not going against the Din, you do so.
He's agreeing to the extent he says that the Motsi Lefarsho be in Acher, we go Acher the Loshen.
Right.
Now, what's the Loshen telling me? So I, before said the Loshen, is telling me it's Master Master Kosovo Terra throw it out. And he's saying, no, it's not a Masnash Kosov Torah. It's Gacha Kinyan. Kinyan, you can go there.
Right. So if it's not going to be Masnash Kosov Torah either way,
so why interpret it?
Then why not? Why is the Torah going like this to interpret it such that it's not going, you know, it's not allowing
you to. It would be Masnash Kosov Torah.
The Prisha doesn't, though. So how's the Prisha understanding the Torah?
That's my focus, right?
The Prisha thinks he's being Mefarish the Torah.
The Prisha's saying, in a case where you have reason to think that they made a real Kinyan Mamani, such that it's a Tanai Shed of Mammon, it's a Mechil of Imos to whatever that our culture gives Machai view, and it's not connected to Dine Torah.
Right.
That what we said to Lyra is true in all cases where there's no Kinyan.
Right.
And you have to use the Torah with whatever you say for the Torah. Where there was a Kinyan, then it's not Masnasha Kosovo Torah anymore. And if you wouldn't be regaling through this whole Torah with a Kinyan, you interpret it literally, that you can go to the Matar Kodesh. It's only because we write in all the stories that's not what it means. What is that?
Okay. All right.
I mean, the only clue is that he is telling you he's one of the few ones who say that can you know?
Right. He definitely thinks that. Okay. Vaiter, a different issue in Samech Aleph. This is not in the Torah. This is in the Shulchan Aruch. Towards the end, all the way at the end of the Siman, in terms of interpreting Shtaros, we have what may or may not be a machlokes, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch. This is source number 36. Medaktikin lashon ashtar v'danin al pi oso diktuk. Right, we're medaktikin lashon ashtar v'lo amrinan hai gavar lo gamir kuli hai v'haya savar she'adin haya be'inyin kach v'mipnei kach kasev oso lashon. Don't say he got confused. He doesn't know the halacha. No, we're medaktikin lashon regardless of the fact that the person, the fellow, presumably didn't know what he was doing, or even if he didn't know what he was doing, we still are medaktik in the lashon. That's tes vav. Tes zayin, yesh misha omer she'tnai she'adam masnim chavero, ein ho chinachar lashon akasuv, ela achar akavana. We don't follow what's written, we follow his intention. Now, it's not exactly clear how to see this, we'll see a couple of possibilities, but one interpretation, one way of reading this, is that it's a frontal machlokes. That do we say, when the lashon is mashma one way, and knowing the gavra, we would interpret the kavana a different way. What do we follow? Tesvav would say we follow the lashon, and Tezayin would say we follow the kavana based on who the gavra is. That's at least one way of construing Tesvav and Tezayin. Now, the makor that's quoted for Tezayin comes from the Beis Yosef, who cites Rabbeinu Yerucham, as is pointed out by the Nachal Yitzchak and the Gra. Rabbeinu Yerucham, source number 39 here. We ignore what she wrote in the shtar. We don't collect b'chayav. Said that, you know, to make it sound stronger. So she'll take it more seriously. Not that he literally can be collected before death. This is the broader principle. We don't follow the text. Instead, we follow the kavana. Right. Then the Gemara in Kiddushin has a raya. If a man marries a woman, I'll tell you that he shows her 200 zuz. And then he shows her someone else's money. That doesn't work, because the point wasn't that he can show her $200 bills. The point was that he actually has $200, that he has some money to his name. Fine. So that's, we don't need to quote the Gemara. That's basically what Gemara says, that the Gemara says, based on that, v'chein pasku shama chidushim, fine, v'chein pasku rama, that's how he paskin that. You don't follow the words that are said, because the words that are said aren't always what's actually going on. What was actually going on there in the Kiddushin was that she wanted him to have some money to his name, not that he could point her towards 200 zuz. So if that's the case, that's the Rabbeinu Yerucham. It seems like there's a tension here, if not a stira, there's at least a tension within the Shulchan Aruch here. Yesh Misha Omer, right? Sometimes Yesh Misha Omer is disputes with the previous point. So how do we go from here? How do we paskin? What lashon do we follow? And I think we actually have a machlokes haposkim on this matter. Source number 43, from the prenuptial agreement, recent developments, an article by Roy Willick. We're not going to talk about the prenup. We're going to steer clear of that in this forum. But in this case, the question of the intent of the misaknim is relevant. So I'll just read. As mentioned, there are cases where the document's plain language obligates the husband, even though it is clear that the intent of the parties in the original formulators of the agreement was not to obligate him. In this case, it was a woman trying to claim back mizonos money even after the point where the husband was willing to give the get, and Roy Willick ruled that she could not get it because the intent of the agreement, of the prenuptial agreement, was not for that money to be given if the husband was willing to give a get. That's just background information, and it's based on our Shulchan Aruch, on Tez Zayin. Shulchan Aruch cites an opinion. I think we're not getting into prenups. We're not discussing prenups. We're going to focus on just the question of Kavana, if that's okay.
The intent of the parties when they signed?
When they signed.
How do you know? Maybe the person was trying to extort her in
Mitchila. Okay, so...
She was trying to extort him in Mitchila.
Fine, so, and how do you know, maybe in the Gemara in Kiddushin, he was also trying to extort, right? But presumably, we go by what's obviously clear, contextually based on the scenario. So Shulchan Aruch cites an opinion which states that if one writes a condition in a document, we follow the intention of the condition rather than the language that is written, right? The actual condition itself. This opinion is based on the case in the Talmud. A man who marries a woman on a condition, he shows her a measure of land. Find whether it's money or land, it works out the same way. If he doesn't own the land, the marriage doesn't work. Why? She did not intend to see anything but his land. She wanted to see some actual assets of his. Although the literal language of the condition, I will show you a measure of land, makes no mention of ownership, we follow her presumed intention. and right, it's presumed, we can never know for sure, but we do the best we can within the scenario. It's from here that Rabbi Yochum derived, proclaimed, he referred to as a major principle, that we follow, we ignore the literal language of the agreement, follow the intention of the parties. And right, the prenup is meant for the as an incentive for the husband to deliver a get in a timely fashion. He's not obligated if he acted in good faith and was willing to give the get for that period of time. Fine. That is, that Rabbi Willig Shita then follows Sif Tezayin and Rabbeinu Yerucham, that we follow the intention. On the other hand, we have actually two different positions coming out of Dayanim in Haifa. I don't know why this issue has been so exciting to people in Haifa, but first we have a sefer from... Possibly. I'm not committed to that, but definitely there's a tension between them. We're going to see... We're going to see people... I mean, depending how you want to construe your case. I don't have that here. You know what? I did not research that, and I don't have it here. We could take it off the shelf if we wanted. I think the Gra does quote a couple of makoros, if I recall, but I didn't have a chance to look them up. Rav Tzvi ben Yaakov in his Mishpatech el Yaakov, based on Psakim in Haifa, quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham.
That's possibly.
We'll see. We'll see how the Dayanim and Haifa. They're gonna. Yeah. We'll see how they discuss this very issue. They'll discuss the very. Rav Tzvi ben Yaakov quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham. Says Mivur Rabbeinu Yerucham, Kavanaso Machraas es Haparshanos Hamilulis. Find that Kavana overrides the literal meaning. And skipping to the next paragraph, Huadin Hischaivus, in general by Hischaivus, we don't follow the Lashon, we follow Kavana. And he says, Af the Kaimalan Yabal Ashtar al-Tachtona, Hainu Kasher Ein Umdunam B'Kavanas HaMeschayev. Fine. So that's that. He just basically says over Rabbeinu Yerucham, more or less straight over, straight up, and we follow the Kavana, just like Roy Willig's decision had been. However, another Psak, also coming out of the Bezdin HaEzori of Haifa, and the three Dayanim are on the sheet. So they discuss this issue as well. So they start with the Rivash Rivash, which is what they see as the basis for Tesva, which is interesting, giving other Rivashes we've seen. Midaktkin Lashon Ashtar V'dan Al Pi Oso Diktuk V'lo Amrinan Haygaver Lo Gamir Kuli Hay V'lo Hayasavar Shadin Haya Be'inyan Kach. Right, that's Tesvav, and the Rama says elsewhere, who adin mishar dikdukim sheishu daktik min ashtar, we're medaktik in the lashon ashtar. Don't say he's an ama aretz and didn't know; rather, he knew, or we can assume that he knew. We can treat it as if he knew. So that's we follow the dikdukim of the shtar, and then they continue v'haya v'yishal ashoel. You might ask. In Tez Zayin, it brings down Rabbeinu Yerucham. Yesh mishomer shetnai she'adam masneim chavero ein hochnachar lashon hakasuv bo elachar kavana. So isn't that a stira between Tez Vav and Tez Zayin, whether we follow the lashon hashtar or the kavana? Sounds from Rabbeinu Yerucham shelashon harei shelo al lashon kovaas ela hakavana. Right, so they're viewing this at least at this point as a machlokas. Regardless of the details of their case, they want to say, no, it's actually not a stira. And they quote from Rav Avram Meiselis, Chaver Bezin Netanya, so I guess a different coastal town. Hayotze lefi divrei Rabbeinu Yerucham. Shalom Rosh Halashon refreshes Beksuba Unmafarshim Beofen She'eno Toem Toem Es Pashtus Halashon. Right, we go against the straightforward language and prefer the kavana, despite the fact that it's not pashup shot in the language. Elo behetem umdandato shel abal. Right, we follow his presumed intention. Unrefreshable lashon ksuba shelokim mashmauta pshuta. And that's the idea that right, we don't follow the lashon, you follow the kavana. But the shach is mitzayin the Be'er Sheva who says. So we'll read the Be'er Sheva here. Ugdol mizu pasuk arash b'tshuva v'irini ruchem. The alv mizakas of tnai b'ksuba shetigve ha'isha bein b'chayav bein b'moso afilu nasui afilu hachi ein magvenosa b'chayav ba'al klal. Me'achar shu k'neged adin. The ksuba lo nitna ligvos mechayim. V'amrinan lo kasav la rakliyos kiyam v'chizuk shlo yotzi ena ke'achas akalos. So his intention is presumably not to go against the din. Therefore, she can't collect mechayim. Uklal gadol b'yadenu b'chol tnai v'chule. That's Rabbeinu Yeruchem. Behavi Raya, Hare Kaman Mevoar, and this is Rav Meislis talking, the Yesh Lehishtadel Lefarish Atanai, Sheloye Keneged Adin, right, this principle we've seen already, that you try to interpret a shtar, so it's not against the halacha, Afal Bishak Fiyah Lashon HaKasuv B'Tanai, Hu Tanai Mefurish Yafeh, Ba'er Heitev Keneged Adin, even though Pashup Shah in the shtar is against the halacha, we force ourselves to interpret it so it doesn't conflict with halacha. Kein Zeh Pasuk HaRash, and he keeps going, the quote from Rav Meislis, Hamisbar mi divrei haber sheva lahalacha zu, shekayemes efsharus, she'anu nista me'aklal, she'medakting lashon hashtar, litzorech parshanus umdan da'as hatzdadim. We're willing to go against being medaktik in the shtar, against tesvav, for the purposes of getting umdan da'as. V'zos kasher lashon hashtar, he benigud gamer lahalacha. But only in a case where there's a conflict with halacha. That would be the collected too early. Between the halacha and the lashon, if you read it that way, and everyone knows the halacha. It's not a tosofer. Because the text, as read straightforwardly, goes against the halacha, we have to presume that the text does not go against the halacha. We have to interpret it differently. As long as you can still fit the literal meaning somewhat, to harmonize the halacha and the shtar and the lashon.
He didn't really mean it. He was just trying to give her more certainty.
So, and how do they interpret it? Now, the conclusion, not from Rav Meislis, from the poskim here, from the Bezdin, if the language star is not against halacha per se, we follow tesvav, we follow the lashon.
As long as it's not going against halacha.
So the way he reads it, and Rav Willig disagrees.
Right.
Okay, good. So we've resolved the machlokes.
He's saying there's no stira.
Okay, I mean, I agree with that.
But what he ends up saying is there's no stira, and the ikker, if there's no stira with... Right, it's a klal katan.
The klal katan is enough for him.
But what comes out according to this Bezdin's psak, which Roy Willick disagrees with, is that
I agree with the psak of Haifa.
They're both Haifa.
The first psak.
Tzvi ben Yaakov. The way this other Bezdin is saying is that you go by the Lashon, unless the Lashon is Sosa the Halacha, and then you say, definitely the Kavana was different. That's the way they come out. I was going to mention that. It was in Yane Dioma. It's a timely psak. Right. It was right. According to Rav Schechter, it was.
His principle that you'll interpret
interpret according to halacha is that he has a basis.
It's certainly right. It's a truth.
But that's not right. It's not all of Rabbeinu Yerucham, really, saying. So that's right. So that's their shita. Now, just to ask, if we take a step back and try to compare some of what we've seen by shtar/tnai with what we've seen by takana, can we say that there's more or less the same shitos on the two sides? That, you know, we had a machlokes by takana, arguably had a machlokes whether to go by the lashon or the kavana. And we have a machlokes, or at least different cases here, different possibilities as to whether you go by the lashon or the kavana. And is it? Can we say it's the same? You know, it's the same machlokes in different cases, or can we be mechalik? So, just one possibility to be mechalik is that even if you say that takana goes by the lashon, let's say like the Rashba, maybe that's because you still might say that in our case where it's an agreement between two people, you go by the kavana. Why? Because a smaller number of people, everyone can be presumed to know the other people's kavana, and that the basis of the agreement maybe was more clearly the meeting of the minds, the intentions of the two parties. Whereas the takana, with more people, and it's published, the reason why it's published is so that people should know what the takana is. To say that it depends on what was in their head, even though it's not written down, you might be mechalik and say that by takana, you're more likely to go by the lashon. Possibly. Not.
Even when it's published, especially in Tuvos Rishonim, most people probably followed it
in Achinami, that could be.
They weren't all like lawyers trying to type stuff.
It could be, though there still is a need for, you still might argue there's a need for a rule of recognition. You need to have some basis for those halachos, right.
We don't even have the text.
We don't have the text, I think, if someone stole someone's mail. That must be why we never got the text of it. All right, again, you could ding zach on the very presumption behind the chiluk. You could say there's no chiluk. You could say these two machlokas are unrelated to one another. You say they're the same. You know, I think there's a lot of room. I just wanted to throw out that possibility. Now, just very, very, very quickly, at the end, what if you don't resolve the stira? Where you have all sorts of methods possibly for resolving a stira, interpreting the language, reconstructing the intent, claiming it's a taos. You could use halacha as a guiding principle for some of these things. What if you don't resolve the takana? Don't resolve the suffix in the takana. What do you do then? I think there could be all sorts of scenarios. Let's say there's no clarifying information. Let's say you vote about the original intent and it was a tie. Let's say the language equally mashma both ways. You're not sure whether the scope of the takana applies to the scenario or not. Whatever the case may be, you're not able to clarify. So what do we say? In shtaros, so we say either yad b'ashtar l'yona or l'tachtona. By nedarim, we say suffix nedarim l'hachmir. What about by takana? So you might simply say stam Nidarim Lahachmir by Takana 2, and we saw that in the Rivash. And that's definitely one way you could go. But we saw very quickly before, and we're now revisiting our Rashba, quoted by the Sma in Yurches, who doesn't say that. Right? He says, Kasav Od, Shema Rashba, the Kol Safek Takana, Dan in Lahakel, Linitba, Ki Amotsi Mechaver Olavaraya. So he says, you're making.
Nidarim, one is Mominous, two different things. And it comes to Nidarim.
So the question is, what does the Mosim Chavaraya here even mean? Is it talking about Chezkas Mamon, as Rabbi Elie is saying? The Pischei Tshuva, though, thinks it's actually not talking about that. He quotes someone, at least, that he says, because he says it's a bit of a stira here. He's saying two different things. Number one, Savek Takana Lahakel, which sounds like, who says your Takana gets off the ground? So the chazaka, the previous status before the takana was no takana, so you need to prove your takana is relevant. And the other hand, you have a Mosim Chavaraya, which in some cases will be l'chumra, in some cases will be l'kula, it depends on the scenario. So what's the real principle? And he says, just to skip, Nira Li, demehai taima kitzer asma, beha takas dibre arashba, velo kasav rak taima de Mosim Chavaraya, mishum, demehai taima nichol hakol. What does that mean? Ki misha hu rotze lasos chutz migeder hadin, you want to change the din, meaning the din prior to the takana, hu hanikra motzi, the alav haraya v'abir, and you didn't provide proof to go beyond the din, the original din, the din aliba, before the takana, and to apply the takana. So,
nothing to do with the money.
Nothing to do with mamonos? Right, that's one way of reading, because if you don't read it that way, you end up with two principles that may be sosar each other in some cases, right? If you actually look at, we're not going to do it because of time, if you look at the Rashba, it sounds like he's really saying two separate things. Number one, we presume that Takana doesn't get off the ground unless you can prove it did. And number two, Amotzi Mechaber Alvarai. In that case, they worked in the same direction. But in other cases, they may be Soser each other. So what happens in other cases? And the Pisrei Tshuva says maybe it's only one rule. It's nothing to do with Amotzi Mechaber Alvarai. It's just a general rule about Takana. Safek Takana Lehakel, because it doesn't get off the ground. Now, this is the opposite of the people who say it's like a neder, it's lechumra, it's like a avodah zarah, it's lechumra. Well, I don't know. According to the Pisrei Tshuva, it wouldn't only be for mammon. It sounds like that's a real right. If he was, he's trying to explain the sma. He's trying to explain the sma's reading of the Rashba. Yeah. Okay. He's being somech on the first, right? He's saying that the second explains the first. Yeah. Right, right. That would be one way. That would be a way of resolving it. Or alternatively, you know, maybe the Sma would say, or the Pisrei Tshuva would say that there's different understandings of how to apply Takana. Maybe the Takana is not so clearly a neder in the classic sense. Maybe it depends on the formulation of the Takana, if they use the Lashon of Cherem or not, or if they just say it as a Takana. There may be other explanations as well, possibly. Just to jump to the very, I think this is the very end. Almost the very end. The last paragraph of 47 of the Pisrei Tshuva is a fascinating point. Right before that, he had said that takanos, maybe we're not talking about all takanos, we're talking about only takanos of Bnei Ir, not takanos of the Gemara, because takanos shel chachmei ha-talmud din Torah nikra. Fascinating idea that we've been mechalek between different types of takanos. And then the last paragraph in 47, gam afilu betakanos Bnei Ha'ir, davka be'im ha-safek hu, im inyin zeh nichla be'kavanas ha-takana, right, we'll only say that you can't prove you have the takana in a case of suffik if the suffik is whether it's included in the intention of the takana. Aval, if it clearly fits the intent, you're just not clear if the language includes this case, then azlinan basrei, then we do include it. Then the Rashba's limitation doesn't apply. Meaning it'll be, it's, well, that's one way. I mean, he doesn't use the Lashon of Umdina. But then is it even a suffix? If we know what they want, then why is he calling it a suffix? Right, then it doesn't count as a suffix. Okay, so it could just be defining that some things, right, a suffix Lashon is not a suffix at all. That's one way of reading. The other way of reading it is that you're
when it's ambiguous, and we have different standard. I mean, if it's clear one way, it's not enough for umdana to be matkameya. But they may be miskana, but they may have been his goal, but that's not what they said. But if the lashon is so ambiguous, will be note there to interpret it based on the kavana.
Right. I think the other way of looking at it in that vein is to say that if it's just if you don't even have the kavana, so then you have nothing. If you clearly have the kavana and you may or not have the lashon, so maybe the kavana helps you be mefarish the lashon or something like that, and to be poshate the suffix. It's another way of saying rather than that there's no suffix at all. In any event, we saw several different approaches potentially, or several different formulations as how to interpret things, even if arguably some of them may regress and may collapse into one another. The Rashba talks about the text, about the lashon. The Rivash talks about the intention. Where exactly they argue with each other is somewhat disputable. The Rush talks about Taos. The Radach talks about Kavana, when we have an Anan Sadi to follow the Halacha to interpret their Kavana. We just saw now in the Pisrei Tshuva, according to Miskaras HaShulchan, that it's possible that if you have the Kavana, maybe that'll help interpret the Lashon, as well as other combination formulations. As the Rama wrote, Ein Simcha Ke Ataras HaSfekos. You know, we should be zochet to clarify all sfekos, but at least we have the Torah perspective on how to evaluate sfekos and how to be mefarish them.